CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? What is it? Why did you make the weather so cold, Sia? What have you done?
Oh, yes.
What have you done?
Let's point the fingers at me, not Mother Nature.
Well, you're in charge, Sia.
I will oddly take that as a compliment, but also dispute that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to own up to being in charge of this shit weather that we've got. Ben was saying when he walked in, it's colder now than it was in the middle of winter.
And which is true.
I said this at the beginning of August. I'm like, well, you know, once we're through August, we're through the worst of it. But there's always that sting in the tail. It's like a scorpion. It comes and gets you somewhere in September. You remember, someone said to me yesterday, it was my mother over the weekend. She's like, well, when I was at school, she doesn't sound like this, but it's fun to make fun of her. You know, when I was at school, it snowed in September. And I said to her, but that was in the 60s. She's like, no. September is sometimes very cold.
But it hasn't been for the last few years. But probably to misquote a Florence and the Machine song, it's always coldest before sunrise.
Yes.
And now what happened is that sunrise has been pushed out to the time we get here, henceforth solid ice balls.
Yeah, you're definitely misquoting that song. It's always darkest before the dawn.
Always darkest before the dawn.
Jeepers, I mean, hop, skip, and a jump down there.
No, it's right. Sia, can you go to this mic? Because I hate that mic.
It's still broken.
Well, listen. Do you hear that? That's a slight fizz. There's a hiss. You hear that?
Yeah.
And if I switch it off, listen to that. Now Sia can talk and there's no hiss in the background.
Now this is better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for today.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to fix it tomorrow. They're going to sort it out tomorrow.
Well, some guy came to fix it yesterday, and then Sia basically told him that he only works in phone lines. This poor guy.
Oh, come on,
he comes
Ben.
In here, bright-eyed, bushy-tail, first thing on Monday.
Because it was my fault. I fired off an email as soon as the show was over. I was like, this Channel 3 we need to sort out.
Yeah, and then this guy jumped to it. I mean, like, service like you haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. Big smiles. Hi, I'm here to fix the microphone. Sia's like, you fix the phone lines. I said, no, Sia. He's here for the microphone. Yeah, but he only works in phone lines.
You aren't relaying this properly because this particular guy... Oh, we're boring with the details. Anyway, this particular guy, I only know him as the guy who comes in to fix our telephone line. So I thought, like, maybe he misunderstood.
That's all he can do in life.
Anyway.
Poor guy is deflated.
I'm still nice and civil to him.
Not
the feng shui of the room is off, I feel.
Well, it's because you moved.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Do you like it there? Are you happy there?
Feels like your
chair is a little higher up. That could
it's
be
fine.
Part of
it forces me to have better posture.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
You know, Comedy Central, God bless these guys. They sent me this horrific work of, I don't know, they think it's art or something. They put together this poster of the roast of Somizi, which was like, 7 months ago?
In April.
Okay, so it's a long time ago.
6 months ago.
And they've now... They're obviously still, you know, high on the supply, and they obviously think it was a massive success, which is good. I don't want to be involved in something that isn't a success, and clearly it got great ratings. It's their best roast so far. That's what they tell me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then they sent me this poster, which Fikile and all the other people on the show signed, but it's hideous.
Fikile looks like DJ Fresh's dad.
Yeah, he does.
Actually,
yeah,
it does. I don't want to generalize. So
they've sent me this, and it's got all the different people who were on there, and there are a bunch of pictures of me. And I hate pictures of me, so this is my problem, not them.
Blow it out to Ross Cliff. You've got to hang this in your house, and you'll
I will not. This is going to be burnt immediately. There is nowhere I'm going to put this. This is going into the trash. There is no reason I would get this anywhere near any of my walls. I wouldn't even put this in the walls of my enemies.
Oh, wow.
It's a horrible thing to give someone. So Comedy Central, please don't send me gifts.
Gareth, it's the thought that counts.
No, I don't want your gift. It's fine. We did the show together.
It's about stabbing a gift horse in the face.
We did the show. It was fun. Everybody loved it. I still get messages from people because they repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat the stupid thing. So I still get messages from people. Oh, we loved the roast of Somizi. Okay. It's time to move on, guys. I do a show every day, 5 days a week. You do one show in 6 months and you want to congratulate yourselves for a year. Get over it now. And I don't want your poster. thank you. We can move on.
Do you genuinely mean thank you?
No. Oh. Of course, leave me alone. Don't send me a gift. I don't want your poster. Do you understand? Fuck. It's weird. Like, I don't know why people need to do that. We tied a nice little ribbon around the thing. It was a great show. Hmm. We don't need to gild the lily. It's fine. I don't want your poster. I'm going to find out who needs wood to burn in their fire because it's still cold in September.
So, just a question. If you lived in America and you were part of that culture,
yeah,
what would you do as your Christmas card then every year?
Oh, yeah, because I've got a friend. She married an American dude. Mm. She was at school with me. We actually dated for a little while, and then she married this American dude. I was MC at her wedding to him. And I love them. They're both great people. They came to visit me last year with their kids. Mm-hmm. They live in Pennsylvania, and they always make a Christmas card. I know what you're talking about here. That's why I brought this up. They make a Christmas card with them on it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like a family portrait, and then they send that to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a cute family. So yeah, it's nice, and it's nice. It gives you an update, and over the years, you get the different cards, and you can see how people have changed, and how the kids have grown up, and how they've aged.
So you can use this as a Christmas card.
Listen. You know me. I'm messed up in certain ways, right? I don't like pictures of myself. I don't. And then people think they're doing me a favor. Like there's this very talented artist who came in here one day, and he'd done a picture of me. Do you remember?
Mm.
It's in the storeroom. It's never going to be seen. The only reason I didn't destroy it is because he put a lot of work into it. But it's in the storeroom. I'm never going to put that up anywhere. I don't want a picture of me. I don't like the way I look. How many times do I have to tell you this?
Well, we believe you. You just keep telling us this, though.
And you're telling the wrong people.
Well, people keep sending me
fucking
pictures of me.
You're telling the wrong people. Ben and I have never sent you pictures of yourself.
No, you haven't. That's true.
But, Gareth, you can just give us a Dave Levinson. He'll flog it at a golf day.
Okay. Well, then that's perfect. That's a good idea. Then it can be put to some use. Yeah. Good call.
Auction it off for charity.
And then they'll pay for Eric Janssen's petrol for a month. Guy lives in the Far East. Gets here at 9:02 every week for the show.
Hey, he was nominated for Comics Choice Award this past weekend.
Was he late for that as well?
Very nice.
I don't know.
Did you see in the Naked Show, Donty had this annual Naked Show this last Friday?
Yes, so let's talk about that. That's important.
Wow. So what happens here on a Friday is we generally finish around 8 o'clock. We play a nice repeat for you of a past interview.
Right.
And we go outside, we have coffee, which Dave is now saying something really offensive about anything. And the guy can't help himself. Like he's unique, though. And then the rest of his comedy cronies then pull in at various stages of dress. Mm-hmm. And then we're joking about the fact that, you know, it's Jonty's annual nude show. You guys can stick around. Dave's like, yo, they're going to be naked chicks. And then I see on the podcast, him and his mate Ryan are then co-opted.
They were the naked people.
They were into the naked show, and they were naked in studio.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw that too. There was five of them.
Ew, cunty.
There was Jonty, naked, as always. There was Tamar, she was naked.
Yes.
And then there was another woman who I haven't met formally, but the first time I heard her speak was, I don't mind anal, but it's not my best.
Yeah, I remember her. She was back for the naked show?
Okay.
Ew, cunty.
She doesn't mind anal.
So, as always, Jonty puts a lot of time and effort into his show. It's one of the longest running shows here on CliffCentral.com. Uh-huh. And there's Dave and Ryan just out of nowhere.
Ryan was having the time of his life.
He was like, I'll never go naked.
Yeah.
And we're saying, Eric, go naked. Do it for your career. He's like, no, man. No.
Thank goodness we had the blinds this year.
Yeah, thank God for Taylor Blinds.
We drop those
because you don't
so quickly.
Let me tell you something. They used to have to do this naked show on the roof,
yes.
Which is you know, for the neighbors that was very traumatic.
Because we never warned our neighbors. To think of it,
guys, our neighbors are strange. This guy's building a like a reed lopper next to us. I don't know what he's doing behind that curtain.
He could be keeping tigers. Yeah, he is.
I reckon there's like bonobos. There's iguanas. Who knows?
I watched Jurassic World. What's it called? Jurassic World Unleashed or whatever it is.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to go watch that.
And I think he's got velociraptors in there.
You know that velociraptors, here's a bit of prehistoric information, are actually really misrepresented in the movies.
Oh?
Velociraptors are tiny. they were tiny back in the day. They were actually like, they were smaller than dogs.
I did not know.
But in the movies, they're these mid-sized dinosaurs who are often just the most badass of all of them. Mm. They're like mini T-Rexes.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in actual prehistoric times, they were really, really small.
Hmm. That's like very, that is interesting.
Like just big cats.
Because they do. They try to make the velociraptors look like the heroes of the show. And in this latest movie, they do the same thing.
Yeah, because they can be trained and they're like pack animals.
Yeah, they're really smart.
Yeah. Well, back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think our neighbor's got velociraptors behind his reed boma.
Yeah, I would fly my drone up and have a look, but I'm with that guy.
He's been building it for the longest of time, and it just doesn't make sense. I wonder what it is.
It's huge. It's like it goes up 4 meters high. I mean, who builds a boma 4 meters high? What are you hiding?
Who finds reeds that big as well?
I need to get tissues. Just talk among yourselves. I'll be back.
Sure. Yeah, well, my whole thing is, it doesn't quite look like a family home, that house.
No, there's something exotic going on. Okay, just to give you some perspective, you don't live in Johannesburg. Rivonia is one of the seediest yet okay places. There's strip clubs everywhere.
Yes.
There are like places,
washed up strip clubs as well.
There are places masquerading as Lebanese eateries, which I'm pretty sure cockfighting still takes place. There's this massive China mall. No one's in there, so they're obviously doing illegal card games to keep the lights on. This place is so bizarre. And then we get to work here, and there's this giant reed velociraptor sanctuary just across the way from us. And then remember that one time we looked out of the window and that woman was washing her hair, as in she was like dusting out her wig.
That's the only time we see our neighbors, when they go out into the balcony and they dust off their wigs.
This whole place is odd. And then next door to us is like the mecca of horse racing broadcasters. So they mean,
yes,
there's gambling and it's.
And then there's that Chinese mall across the road.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. The fact that all those illegal card games.
That is super odd.
And like, I reckon you can find the biggest selection of Perlimoon in the whole country is probably there.
For sure. And if not the Perlimoon, then the traders.
So weird.
And then there's go-kart racing, which probably works once a month. But hear this noise, and it's like there's no one go-karting. There's one guy.
I'm convinced that's a great front for something.
It's all a front.
Something seedier happening.
Well, how did we get into this topic? We were talking about something.
How did we even get to dinosaurs?
I brought up Jurassic Park.
That's what
we were busy talking about something else.
The frame.
Yes, the nude show. So John T, you see how we have to backtrack, like this is how old people talk. Have you noticed that?
So old.
Old people, well, what was it you were saying? And you go, I was talking about the weather. Yes, and then before that you said that you had a coat. Oh, God. Yes.
We really backtrack.
We did a major one there.
Well, the nude show was all very ordinary as...
They didn't get out of control and like start jerking each other off or anything.
In inverted commas, I use the word ordinary, up until a photographer who was hired by John T. And I guess when you work with John T consistently, because they've done several projects together, you kind of know to expect the unexpected.
Right.
So John T always jokingly says that no one is allowed in the studio unless you're naked for this naked show.
Right.
So did you have to take the photographer had to
Poor
get naked.
Photographer guy was just here commissioned for an hour.
And he had to get naked.
Passing through the day trying to get his money and to then get naked. And
let's just hold it up right there. If John T's hiring him, I'm pretty sure this guy knows the script by now. John T didn't just go through like Gumtree and go, photographer. Ah, there we go. John T knows someone through someone who's obviously been at an orgy.
I will believe that because we only had to tell him once, like, oh, this is John T's rule. And within 2 seconds, he already stripped off right in front of all of us. We're like, no.
Do you remember during John T's live fisting show, that other photographer?
Just hang on. You got to slowly. You can't go straight into on John T's live fisting show. You have to go slowly into that. You've got to ease into that. You can't
can't ram into the fisting.
Sorry, but you remember the photographer for that? That guy was... Yes.
I think I did. Oh, I remember him because he was really, he filmed the live fisting and he was so proud of his footage.
Yeah.
He wanted to go around and show everyone what he had filmed. Like
that guy,
close up shot.
He was. Sorry, I'm trying not to. that was one of the most interesting people that's ever walked in here. Not maybe in a classical sense, but that guy only does porn. He's only on film sets. He's that's only right. at the places. He only sees like anatomy essentially.
Yeah.
But the moment you looked at him, and the general sort of precipitation around his head area, that was him.
That's his life. That's his whole life.
His whole life.
That's what he does.
His entire life is in an act of sexual something or other.
Right.
Well,
that must be a hell of a life, huh? You imagine you get home to you, and he's got probably a family. Yeah, he's good. Maybe he's got a daughter. Gets home. Hey, how was school? Yeah, fine, thanks, Dad. How was your day? You know, some fisting.
Erect.
I mean, what a thing.
I would think that would, I don't know, that would desensitize you a bit.
Here are a couple of messages. I believe awesome things will happen. It is Tuesday, says Paul. Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad that you're feeling that way. You know, I don't think that it makes much difference what day of the week it is. Your attitude's good, then you're going to have a good day. And Lubabalo says, you're a bit weird, Gareth, over the Somizi poster they sent me. Okay, yeah. Well, I know that, and there's no news there for me, but thank you. I appreciate the observation. I like to be observed. Hey, Nola, what's up? Nola's busy getting ready to take your calls. You can get hold of her if you want to. You know what to do. 0861-555-189, and you can get straight through to the studio. No one will mess with you. You can get straight on the air. You can say whatever you want. Free speech, right?
Yes.
Yes. So give us a call. Tell us what you're up to. All right. Couple of things that we needed to address this morning. I don't even know where to start, but let me begin with our movie that we're doing.
Yay!
I love the Predator, right?
Yeah.
I mentioned this yesterday.
You mentioned that very animatedly yesterday.
Yeah, because Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of my favorite actors, and the Predator was one of his best movies. I still reckon it was right up there. And it helped Arnold's career along, just like the Terminator. And these Predators frightened the hell out of me when I was a kid, because they were these ugly things that had these like dreadlocks, and they had these mouths that could open up with the mandible, and they, you know, they kind of had an insect-like mouth.
Yeah, they would skin people alive.
Yeah, and they were like the world, they were the universe's great hunters. Then they came out with, I don't know if you remember, but there was a Predator 2, and then there was Aliens versus Predators, because it turned out that the Predators were, they bred the aliens to hunt them, to perfect their skills in hunting, or something like that. Mm. The two of them were in some war, and then they were in the Antarctic, and they awoke a predator, and they awoke an alien. I mean, I watched the whole lot because I was really into this for a long time, and I'm talking over a period of like 15 years, right? So now they got a brand new Predator movie. This is Shane Black's explosive reinvention of the Predator series in the small town streets of suburbia. I mean, can you imagine anything more frightening?
No.
Soccer moms and predators. Take your pick, which is your enemy.
Choose your character.
Who's it going to be? The soccer mom or the predator? Hmm. Now, the universe's most lethal hunters, that's the predators, not the soccer moms, are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves with DNA from other species. You see what I mean? The universe's best killers. When a young boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, it's always some kid who presses a button they're not meant to.
See?
Only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and disgruntled science teachers can prevent the end of the human race. Well, if that isn't a reason to get you to the cinema, I don't know what is.
And good for disgruntled science teachers. They finally get their movie shot here. For years, they've just been disgruntled in the sidelines.
CliffCentral.com wants to offer you the chance to see the movie the day before everyone else gets to see it at an exclusive preview. And this time is on the Thursday, the 13th of September at Monte Cassino this week. So you, how many days you got? One, you got today and tomorrow. Are there any tickets left?
Just a couple.
All right, so you can still get in. If you want to join us, email events@cliffcentral.com and get your hands on tickets. That's events@cliffcentral.com. Tell us if you want to come along and we will give you those tickets. They're free, zero cost to you. You just have to pitch up. We'll give you a free Coke and popcorn. You go in, you get to see this great movie, which I'm sure is going to be terrific. And that's it. Nobody has to stress about a damn thing. It's all organized. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you get welcomed by Sia.
Yes. Sia.
That's Sia's, also...
He's good at welcoming people. That's one of his strengths. There are many.
In a past life, I was an air hostess.
We're going to talk later on to Robin from Lifestyle. She's popping by. And we're also going to get into Sarah. Is it Sarah or Sarah?
Sarah.
Is it Sarah Blacher?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so we're going to talk to her about a new film that's coming out called Mayfair, which is making waves around the world. And she's an award-winning director. We'll check in with her. What else do we have today? We've got the five things you need to know. We'll give you the sport. We'll give you Said by Sia, because you might have missed that yesterday. We didn't get to it, so we'll get to it today.
Double play Sia, or just straight up?
No, it'll just be one.
But double play like your Toto? Double play?
Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah.
What was that?
That's the new theme for Said by Sia.
That sounds like Mickey Mouse has a recorder stuck in his throat.
Yep. Like Mickey Mouse sat on Pluto.
Hey, one other quick thing I need to remind you of. You can get all you need to know about taking care of your furry family members because we have a new podcast series. The host, Leanne Moll, was here with us yesterday. It's a 10-part podcast series brought to you by Pet Heaven. I use Pet Heaven, by the way. That you order your food from them, and you can say, I've converted my whole family to this. You know, they all have dogs. You go on there and you say, and cats, by the way, Ben, for you, counts just as much.
Yes, I have cats, Gareth.
You go onto the site, and you say, I need a bag of food every 2 months, or I need a big bag of food every 3 months, or I need a little one every week. And they will deliver virtually on the same day that you order. It's terrific. There is nothing more soul-destroying than going to a pet store and buying pet food. It's so boring. They've got all the ranges, all the good stuff. Go on there, you get toys, you can get deworming medicine, you get Bravecto, whatever it is you're looking for. And you go on and you order with one click and they will deliver. Isn't that cool?
It's very 2018.
The right. Convenience of it all.
I mean, who wants to get in the car, drive to the pet shop to buy pet products? You can get them online.
And also, it's very important that you do this, that your pets always get the right food, because if you run out all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I need to go buy something, but it's late. You end up buying like horrible, ashy food.
Sawdust,
essentially, because there's nothing else in the convenience store, which is only open.
Right. Pigs, snouts and trotters and sawdust. Oh.
Yeah. Hoofs.
Stuff they put in polony that even humans shouldn't eat. Yeah. Find out about nutrition, socializing your dogs, traveling with your pets, puppy training, common health issues, pet insurance, and a whole lot more. All 10 episodes are available on cliffcentral.com, on our website, or wherever you listen to good podcasts. Just look for Pause for Thought. That's P-A-W-S. You get it, right? Mm-hmm. Pause for Thought. Mm-hmm. Look it up on your favorite podcast app now. Pet Heaven is an online-only pet supply business offering recurring deliveries to keep your pets regularly fed, exceptional customer service, and competitive pricing on all their brands. Check them out at petheaven.co.za. Why is it that at this time of year, people get a little bit lazy? I always used to say it was like the 9 month period, because what happens is, you know, we've got a gestation period as humans of 9 months that you're in the womb. For some reason, people get on a little bit of a go slow in September. Have you noticed this? They tend to hit a bump in the road. And I'm talking about business wise. I'm talking about in terms of their own health and fitness. People tend to just hit a bit of a wobbly in September. Or am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. Warmer weather makes people feel happier.
But it's not warmer. This is part of the problem.
Of course it is. Once you get through the morning, it's much warmer.
Not there yet.
There's a general warmth.
Not there yet.
The sun.
I get what you mean, but I'm feeling the rush, the last minute rush of, oh, shucks, the year is nearly over.
That's
I need
it.
To get things done. That's what
probably,
I'm
that's
feeling.
Probably what it is.
It's, you know, September's like the midday slump of the year. You're like,
right. Because you can push yourself for those first couple of months. When you do realize that you have 3 months now to get done what you need to do. You've got this month, which is almost halfway through. You've got October and you've got November, and then it's done. Don't try to get anything done in September. I mean, in December, it's never going to happen.
At all.
And everybody is waiting for that December. So it's now you've got to push. You've got a final push. You've got to make it through the next 3 months with as much as you can. You've got to do as much business as you can. There's pressure. You've got to think about the holidays coming up. You've got to plan all these things. So that's probably more sensible. That's maybe what I was trying to get at, but I didn't articulate it as well as you did. Because really, it's around the corner. I mean, but you're gonna wake up and the next thing you know, it's December.
Yeah.
Has anybody thought about that stuff at all? Done any planning around that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I have.
You have?
Sure, I'm probably not going to be here all of December.
Ooh!
You planned December already?
Not really. The things I want to do. Now I just need to make the exact amount of money between now and November in order to do it.
Right, so that's also a push.
Yeah, but we are about to get into that time of the year when people rarely respond to emails, and you'll set up meetings, and then they'll move them around.
Oh, let's just... I'm not going to make it this month. Can we just do January? Everybody always talks about January, and then in January they're not available.
I'm not going to make September. Let's just move it to January.
Oh, yeah, that's what people are like. You watch. There's going to be a reply or two like that from the laziest people you know. But you said you've got some stuff planned.
Yeah, my family and I are going to go on a little holiday together.
Oh,
this is just like the siblings and the cousins.
Okay.
We're still debating whether we want to do Namibia or Mozambique, but we want to make a bit of a road trip of it, spend a couple of days together. World War VII will ensue. But
of course, a road trip. That's,
we'll love each other afterwards.
Road trip, you're very brave.
We are asking for trouble, I know.
Sure.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Imagine Sia.
Imagine my family.
I need to pee. No. I need this. I want that.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the least.
Really?
I'm so
the least
easy.
Out of your family, you're the most easy.
Just easy maintenance.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Chilled with everything.
You can?
Sure.
It was interesting when my niece was born to have a whole bunch of us all together again. And it was my mother with her drama, and I don't know how she gave birth to four kids, but she couldn't stand seeing my sister like about to give birth. So she was having her own moment. My sister's fiance was having his own moment. It was all just a mess put together. I'm really just easy with everything. So I'll put everyone together. We'll be fine.
All right.
You have to sell it to me, sir. I agree.
Listen, we've got to move. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. We've got the five things you need to know this morning. So it's your little opportunity to catch up on some of the headlines. Where shall we begin? Let us start with a story about a video. I've got a friend who's a teacher, and she was telling me like the rules around social media and everything else are so tight for teachers at the moment. Because you know what happens, right? If you're a teacher, you often are in a WhatsApp group with the pupils, the students, and then the moms and the dads.
Oh, no.
Because,
really?
Yeah. Because for sport and things, that's the way that you communicate now. You don't send out a notice.
Oh, that's so bad.
So everybody has these teachers' phone numbers. And you can imagine what will happen. If the one little kid is a brat, as the teacher, you've got to be very careful how you respond to that. You know what I mean.
Mm.
So a video has come out showing a pupil performing a lap dance at a top Gauteng school. Gauteng Department of Education has expressed concern after a video surfaced of a pupil performing what appears to be a lap dance. Well, it's either a lap dance or it's not. What appears to be inside the classroom. Scores of learners can be seen loudly egging the teenager on as she performs a lewd dance on a male pupil.
Imagine.
According to the department, the video was taken in February. The department said the girl's allegedly 9 months pregnant.
Oh.
February, March, okay. April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, it's about right. About the time she did the lap dance.
Wow.
I'm sorry if I find this funny, but this is not a serious matter.
did they go into the severity of her daddy issues?
Well, we are highly disappointed by the conduct of these learners, said Banyaza Lesufi, has brought the school into disrepute. The school is one of our best performing schools, produces 100% pass rates in mathematics and science. Schools are institutions of teaching and learning and should be treated as such. We strongly condemn any acts of misconduct. What I wouldn't have done to have one of the girls do a lap dance when I was at school. Man. What I wouldn't have done. These kids don't know how lucky they are. Lesufi further called on parents to assist the school with discipline issues, both at school as well as outside of school hours, reiterating this is a social issue.
I'd like to believe on the show we are very fair in our opinions. We see both sides.
Yeah.
But to me, this is not really the teacher's fault.
No, it's not the school's fault either.
Not at all.
No, this is nobody's fault. This is just stupid. And I'm sorry, I can't take this seriously. Maybe it's because I'm not a parent.
I mean, watch any music video today.
Yeah, I mean, they're all doing lap dances. And Nicki Minaj has never not done a lap dance in her videos.
There we go.
What do you want your daughter to do? If she's watching music videos on YouTube, she knows what to do. Lap dance.
So let's talk to the parents, rather.
Right. So they say, we are aware that there are about 3 videos that were captured by grade 10 learners in February 2018. I mean, they're talking about this like it's a crime.
I will never forget you once said that we'll probably all reach a point where somewhere, somehow...
Everyone's naked.
Yeah, and there's a video of us somewhere.
Listen to Jonty last week. We're already halfway there.
Jonty can process that reality.
Yeah, he can make it happen.
Jonty tried to say something so profound last week.
Listen to this. This is incredible. The Department of Education said, our psychosocial team has been dispatched to the school to offer support and counseling to all those affected by the incident. Those kids are fine. They don't need a psychosocial team. What are the guys going to come in with straight jackets and tie them all down to their chairs and say, now listen, I understand something really traumatic's happened here. No, actually, just what we saw in the Nicki Minaj music video. What is wrong with people? Your kids are growing up so soft. Kids in every generation before this had real shit to deal with. You know, the parents of these kids were on the streets in 1976 in the Soweto uprising. Before that, they were probably at war. Kids were losing, dads were being shot to death somewhere in some country. Kids now, the girl did a lap dance. We all need counseling. No. You probably need counseling because of what's happening at home. That's what you need counseling for. I don't think the lap dance at school's the problem.
I think they're only taking this seriously because now there's a pregnancy.
Ugh, please.
But understandably so.
She would have got pregnant anyway, lap dance or not.
Ooh-wee.
Come on. And that's a private issue. Her parents can deal with her and they can deal with the parents of the boy and between them, they can figure it out. This is not the first time this has happened in South Africa. Come on, who are we trying to kid? I love the way we create these bizarre expectations of our schools. Like they've got to be a mom, a dad, a babysitter, a sex ed class. Where are the parents in all of this? The school is there to teach your kids maths and science. If the school's delivering 100% pass rate in maths and science, and there's one or two girls who get pregnant, that's not the school's fault. Headmaster needed to be, you know, making sure that they weren't banging each other in the bathrooms after hours. He can't do everything. Get over it. These parents need to be called in, that's all. All right, Brazil's presidential candidate Bolsonaro gained little after a stabbing. This is amazing. He almost got stabbed, this presidential candidate.
And was almost fatal.
Yeah, he won 24% of potential votes among those polled. He's the far-right presidential candidate. He was stabbed in the stomach during a campaign rally last week.
Oof.
He maintained his lead but saw no big boost. You can't even get a boost if you get stabbed. And in Brazil, getting stabbed is very commonplace. That's like getting pregnant in a South African school. Being stabbed in Brazil is nothing, really. It's not even a story. So it doesn't even affect the polls, right? Let's move on.
Imagine.
A journalist has received death threats after the Zuma secret meeting report. Journalist Kantia Hunter has allegedly received death threats following the Sunday Times article she co-wrote with Jeff Wicks alleging that former President Jacob Zuma met with a number of his allies at a Durban hotel to plot the ouster of President Cyril Ramaphosa. Remember we were talking about the story and we said, it's obviously true?
Yep, because it's been so vehemently denied.
Right, when the ANC denies it, and now look what's happened. It's so obviously true that people are threatening to kill the journalist who wrote it. We've never been so right. Can I just say, let's pat ourselves on the back. Again, we were spot on. And I'm sorry for this journalist. But apparently the Cape Town Press Club has condemned the death threats leveled against the journalist. We will not stand aside when journalists are personally attacked and threatened, particularly by political leaders who ought to be setting an example. The Press Club settling their death. Can you imagine? Anyway, so there's the latest on that story, in case you were following that. It gets hard out there for a journalist. It's tough. Belgium. You know the Belgians, right?
They make chocolates and, like,
waffles.
No, they've pledged 30 million euros to South Africa so we can do land reform. I don't know why we need foreign money to do land reform. Someone must explain that to me. But
why do they hate money so much? Because that money is not going to be used for
Belgians.
For a purpose.
The Belgian government committed 30 million euros to South Africa's land reform process. Minister of International Relations and Cooperation Lindiwe Sisulu said on Monday after a meeting with that country's Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Affairs Minister. We're sure that we need to go firm on the process of land reform because it was at the beginning of the reconciliation process of the country. First of all, Belgium, that's really nice of you. I'm sure that we don't need your involvement in our land reform process. And if we do, we're admitting we can't do it ourselves, which, again, makes our government look incompetent. But what we're going to do with the 30 million, who knows? What are they going to do? Pay out farmers that they're going to expropriate?
How did we get to Belgium of all places bailing us up?
Wait, fuck off, Belgium. Belgium. Get in your own business.
Belgium, do you know that you just bought a whole bunch of Range Rovers?
For ministers and their families.
Belgium, do you know that you just bought a whole bunch of braai areas?
Right.
So last week it was China.
And fire pools.
And this week it's Belgium. We're just taking in all of this cash.
Here's a Zimbabwean story for you. Mnangagwa has named his new cabinet and dropped all the Mugabe-era ministers. Ooh, it's time for him to clean up, right?
Well, aren't they all like 87 years old?
Yeah, that's exactly it. They're just old. Zimbabwean president...
changed the address of parliament.
Emmerson Mnangagwa. Yeah, they just got lost. We can't figure out where the parliament is. But that's because you're 97 years old, sir. I am the minister of... defense. No, you're not. You just wet your adult nappy.
Oh. That's what you need to realize.
Yeah. Apparently, do you know who he's made the Minister of Sport?
Yes.
Please don't.
This is an inspired selection.
Kirsty Coventry, the swimmer.
What an incredible selection.
Yeah.
So not only was she a sports person, but she loves sport and she's traveled the world and she's been to the Olympics. She's won medals. It's a great idea.
All right.
Look at how...
It's better than a politician. Politician, yeah.
Wikipedia
thank you.
Wikipedia changes so quickly. Already when you Google Kirsty Coventry, it's Minister of Sports,
wow.
Arts and Recreation of Zimbabwe. 34 years old and won at the Olympics.
What's up, Nolo? You wanted to say something?
No, she's talking to me.
Oh, okay.
I sent you guys an email, all three of you. You need to download the video.
What is it?
Oh, nice.
I've been in stitches ever since.
What? Just give us an idea and I'll download it.
Hint, hint. It's something we shot when I was at varsity.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a very short clip.
Is it a lap dance you did?
Ooh.
Knowing me, you would know that was. I wouldn't know.
Oh, no, you wouldn't? All right.
It depends
very good.
On the setting.
See, but she would do it. She's not saying no. All right, that's the five things you need to know today. Let's get to Bitcoin, $6,359, and Ethereum is still under $200 at $196. Wow, those things have sunk to absolutely shit levels. It's incredible.
Yeah, but do we have to keep talking about it? Because every single day we say, oh, it's in the shit.
I know. Let's get to you, Ben. Let's see what's going on in the sport.
Well, Novak Djokovic is very much back in the big three of tennis. The U.S. Ryder Cup team is now finito, complete with all its players, and Cook bows out in style. Right, tennis that doesn't involve shouting at umpires, sexism, and all the rest. That was yesterday.
Can I just say, funniest thing, I know a lot of people are going to be very offended by this, but the funniest tweet I have ever seen was yesterday. Did I tell you about this, Sia?
What did it say?
Uh-oh. It's really funny. So in all this controversy with Serena,
yes. You know,
so she was saying cheating, blah, blah, blah. So
I have never. No. I'm a mother.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Why
all that.
Would I be
all that stuff.
My daughter.
Right. So someone tweets. I don't know who this was. I don't follow them. But this is very, very funny. they say, pretty rich if Serena Williams accusing others of cheating when he has been winning the women's Grand Slam all these years.
Oh, righty.
Yo, that's just another level.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was still going round and round and round yesterday. And there's a lot more opinion coming in basically saying that Serena was wrong. Because obviously people are starting to analyze things and maybe their conscience keeping up with them. But look, as I said yesterday, I think Serena was very much wrong. But I still think there are gender double standards within the sport. But getting on to actual tennis. So Novak Djokovic won the men's. And that was his 14th Grand Slam title. So what this means is that he is back in the race for, firstly, player of the decade. Well, think about it.
That's quite something.
He's won so much since 2010.
Yes.
But the last 62 Grand Slams, 51 have been won by Djokovic, Nadal, or Federer. So it's very much the big three. There's no doubt about it. Murray came in for a bit, and then he hurt himself. And there's been some Eastern Europeans and a couple of other people. But look, let's be honest. It's Nadal, Federer, Djokovic. Those have been the big three. Those have been when they're old and can't go to the toilet by themselves, they'll be wheeled out onto the Aussie Open, the French Open, or whatever.
Like Rod Laver.
Yeah, there'll be Rod Laver into some arena. And everyone will go, oh, back in the day, it was just them three. Yeah. So, but think about Djokovic, obviously, he's got time on his side. Federer's got 20 titles.
Mm-hmm.
Djokovic has got, Nadal, that guy, he's got, I think, 17. So he's catching up. But it's interesting because you need to have these big players. And that's what made tennis so interesting for so long, the last few years. Of course, it's just been Roger's like resurgence has made it even more interesting. So it's good to have these big three. It really is. Women's tennis doesn't really have this. Henceforth, we have someone who's probably bigger than the game, which is Serena. And that's obviously where a lot of the controversy comes from. But enough of that. Well done to Novak Djokovic. He is the US Open title champion. Martys.
Yay.
Yeah, Martys. So yeah, that is Varsity Cup. Now, they are the most successful team, rugby team, in the Varsity Cup, which is obviously one of the big...
Stellenbosch, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things in SA sport. And obviously, you know, SA rugby is kind of... It's just not good. But Varsity Cup level, schoolboy level, I think we're still pretty good as far as global standards are concerned in age group rugby. And then they get older and then politics gets involved and then it all goes to shit. But Martys are in a bit of a court tussle at the moment because they have a deal with Tafel Lager. You might know Tafel Lager. It's probably the best value for money beer out there. That's not an endorsement. It's just that I drink quite a lot of beer. And they want to sponsor Martys. But now, because of the whole tournament agreement with SA Breweries, well, Francois Pinard and the rest are saying, no, you can't have this. So they're going to get big money from Tafel. SAB, they get 38,000 rand per season. That's what I find strange about the story. There's a 5 million rand deal with SA Breweries. The teams get 38,000 rand each from that 5 million.
That's all?
Yeah. Doesn't sound right, does it?
Mm-mm. They're the ones doing the work.
What does a team do with 38,000 rand? That's barely flights to, like, Bloemfontein.
That's not even the administrator's salary.
Not even flights.
Oh,
that's nothing. That's a decent piss-up. That's all it is. Yeah. So how about that? The Ryder Cup, that is the most exciting thing in golf because you get teams. And I'm very excited about this, not because I give a toss about either USA or Europe. It's just that you got the best versus the best, and it's going to be so exciting. That's in 2 weeks' time in Paris. And America has now officially named their entire team. So there were the eight pre-qualifiers, who obviously have been great throughout a period of time. So they're automatically in the team. That was Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, and Brooks Koepka. Then there was the captain's picks. Three guys that the captain thought were just the form guys. You can't be without them. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau. There was one spot left. One spot left. And this is the great thing about how America structure it, is that they have that one spot left for someone who's really showing great late season form. or just can't be ignored. And Tony Finau has picked up that position, so he'll be there. This guy's been pretty sneaky solid in the majors, actually. Now, he's 28. He's a big, lanky guy. I think he's been pretty solid, and he's just like one of those guys that's on the cusp of breaking into real greatness. So being the Ryder Cup could just be his thing. Keegan Bradley did win the BMW Championship this last weekend, or ended yesterday in the rain. But, of course, he hasn't really been good enough. I don't think he warrants a position there. So, great win for him. His first win in a while. It's a big win for him. But, yeah, Tony Finau gets the final spot. So, with both teams announced, I shall now be doing a podcast about this. It's going to be very good. It's going to be fiery because I'll be debating someone who I have money against.
Great.
I say USA are finally going to win in Europe, which hasn't happened in a long, long time. They are the defending champs, are the USA. But the last time they defended their title was way back in 1993. So in Sears' lifetime, they haven't actually defended this title.
That's incredible.
Still wasn't born in 1993.
I know.
Okay.
So I'm saying, in your entire lifetime, Sears, the US has not defended a title.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. We got this. India, they're up against it in the fifth and final test against England. Well, they probably don't care because, let's be honest, once Virat's out, they actually did a give a toss. In a poll recently, most Indian supporters said, well, if Virat's not playing, then I'm just going to go back to watching Bollywood. He got a first baller yesterday.
Sure.
That is going to be a bitter pill to swallow. Pujara also got zero. So take those two players out and you might as well just call the game off.
Sure.
58 for three. They need another 406 runs to India on day four. 7 wickets remaining. But the big story, of course, is Alistair Cook, who looks like Rahman from the Renegade Report. Well, he scored 100 in his final final innings. 147 he got.
Okay.
So good for him. England's most prolific test batsman of all time. No one's ever going to eclipse the runs that he scored. So a nice way to go out. Good for him. Of course, everyone says he's like the greatest and all that kind of stuff. Blah, 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 blah. He does, eh? Alistair Cook, he looks like Rahman. Put a hat on him and he looks even more so.
If you squint, he does look like a Rahman.
Yeah.
Of course he does. Like an older brother.
Yeah. Older, could be related.
Like an older, taller brother.
Yeah. Check where Rahman's dad was when Alistair Cook was 9 months before he was born.
Yeah. Not a lot more in the sport, Gareth. Some Australian person who's obviously never seen a black person has been drawing cartoons around Serena Williams.
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh, the controversy here.
Oh, boy. I know where this is going.
Yeah. So this guy's put a cartoon about Serena jumping up and down in a racket, but I mean the big lips, the big nose, the big curves, the big hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's depicted the Naomi Osaka as a petite blonde girl,
which she's not. What is her racial background?
She's Haitian American.
Okay. She's Japanese. She's like
Haitian is, that's Caribbean
from Haiti.
Yeah,
that's not she's Japan. She's,
so there's, well, Osaka is the surname. So she must be half Haitian, half Japanese.
Where does the Haitian come in here?
That's what Sia said. I'm taking
that's
his
what
word.
I...
Is he, are you lying to me? Ben, fact yeah, check
oh,
Sia.
Oh, Haitian Japanese.
Thank you.
That's what I
said.
Well, either way, she was an American from a young age, so she's mostly American. But yeah, she does not look like a blonde girl. Point I'm making here is that in all these controversies, there's obviously gray areas, and then there's dumbasses. Like, come on, Mark Knight comes out with this cartoon. Dude, you're either stupid, or you literally are trolling hard. One of the two. Either way, J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame has come out slamming this cartoon. Because everyone wants to be a part of the story.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling is like, I don't know what, she must write another book. She's bored to death. She's getting involved in social media fights.
Well, she should probably just do what Madonna does and just sort of prey on young men. But, you know, she doesn't have that sort of sex appeal. So, but then again, she's got the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, that's pretty much it for your sport. I know there's that UEFA friendly, everyone's mates kind of cup league thing. But do me a favor.
Yeah, we
after
can.
After the World Cup.
We'll manage without
much.
That.
It's too much.
Let's get a Sid by Sia, shall we? We missed out on this yesterday. Go on, Sia. Fill up our cup.
Let's get a Sid by Sia. Why not? I think this is quite innovative and cool of Istanbul, of all places, because they have an answer. Recycling plastic and also providing free transportation. Well, listen to this. Istanbul is a major city that wants to tackle the plastic waste problem head on, and they're creating what they believe is going to be a positive action through people's ticket fare cards. Well, Istanbul's answer to this is an innovative new incentive for commuters in the city, allowing them to exchange plastic waste for credit on the city's metro cards, which can be used for multiple forms of public transit. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, so you collect a bunch of plastic, you get some points, and you can travel for free.
I know. Okay. So the sophisticated machines are called the Smart Mobile Waste Transfer Centers. They'll have the onboard equipment to scan and assign a value to whatever piece of plastic is put inside it before then it crushes, shreds, and it sorts into bins that can be emptied just like vending machines. So far, they have 25 of the machines currently installed in the city, and the municipality, though, has a goal of installing 100 by the end of the year, with the hopes of reducing 17,000 tons of garbage they produce every day. But geez, this is cool. Istanbul, surprisingly though, isn't the only city tackling environmental problems in this scale, using transit systems specifically. While a 27-year-old designer in London created this ingenious way of generating wind power that uses cloth-like material to generate electricity from the wind that comes from subways and the train cars speeding by. This is so cool. And to promote fitness a few years ago, Russia, again of all places, added a machine in one of their cities, specifically in their subway, that gives a free ticket if you can complete at least 30 squats within 2 minutes. So hey, look, they realize the need is transport, so how can they swing transport for good? And this is what they have as answers. So I think this is very, very cool in terms of what Istanbul is doing. And if it's all about saving the environment and, you know, a ripple effect of good, then kudos for any city that's doing amazing things.
And that's what you really want from a dictator. A dictator who cares about the environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good for you, Erdogan.
At the end of the day, yes.
Okay, very nice. Thank you, Sia. Here's something interesting. Bernard says, "Hey, Gareth and team, I know it was long ago, but my favorite morning was when Gareth ranted about New Zealand's accent, and Hardy does." Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Was it the same day we were talking about their prime minister?
Yes. I saw the other day a photo of the prime minister post-birth, because, you know, the prime minister's a woman. She gave birth to a kid while she's in office, and her husband's name was Clark. Remember?
Clark, yeah.
And
three R's.
So Bernard says, "I saw a photo of their prime minister post-birth, and she ate mac and cheese afterwards, and she was praising Clark for being a hands-on dad. Not difficult being a hands-on dad if your main occupation is a professional fisherman. Like you said, Gareth, ordinary and boring. Love you guys." Okay, well, Bernard, actually, I found... She's had her child, and it's a daughter, and they've called her Neve. N-E-V-E. So it's Neve and Clark. And the Prime Minister's name is Jacinta. Yeah, Jacinta Ardern. No, sorry, Ardern.
Yeah.
Jesus.
How do you spell this name?
A-R-D-E-R-N. That New Zealand accent. I heard someone, I think it was commentating on the golf or something over the weekend. Terrible New Zealand accent. Terrible. So here is a guy called Winston Peters in the New Zealand Parliament being very insulting. Who knew? Maybe New Zealand isn't so boring. Listen to this.
I'm very close to the member and I cannot hear her. Mainly, I think, because opposition members' barracking is coming through my mics.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I'm first of all going to have the shadow leader.
Yeah, throw Fatty out.
Yeah, throw Fatty out. Someone says on the microphone,
throw fatty out.
He's talking about a woman.
In New Zealand, that is brave.
I mean, in New Zealand, that is outrageous. This is going to be headline news for 6 weeks. This happened on Wednesday, last week.
Ooh.
Yes, Peter's fat-shamed a colleague in the middle of a parliamentary debate, calling on the Speaker of the House to throw Fatty out of Parliament. The member is coming through more microphone. So there we go. A little bit of fun with New Zealand. Just in case you didn't have any. You know? Yeah, keep things interesting. All right. When we come back, we have got, just so much stuff. I've got a couple of mistakes that were made in the news. You know how much I love those.
Ooh.
When the newsreaders screw up and they say something by mistake. It's one of my favorite things. I can never get enough of that stuff. Oh, and there's a song I wanted you to hear. It's apparently some new Timo ODV. Remember when he popped by?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It is called... Let me just find the damn thing.
What is it called?
Yeah, it's called We Get Ravy. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, okay. Let's get ravy then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me play you a little bit and then you decide. And if it's crap, you could tell me we're not going to do this. All right? Ben, you could... No, it's shit. All right.
Oh, it's going to be quite emo.
You did not even give it...
Let's leave it.
4 seconds.
No, we don't need that.
All those in favor say aye.
You wanted
it? I am alone.
No, it's just you.
I am alone.
No, we'll leave that alone. Let's do some French Montana instead. CliffCentral.com